Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and two things up for review this week. First up is the new film Dune Part 2, and then there's the latest remake of Shogun, which is on FX. First up is Dune Part 2, and boy howdy, did I have just a spectacular time at this movie. I am always wary of overhyping something because I think expectation setting is such an important part of the movie-going experience, and you know, like many people, I had very high expectations going into this because we've already seen Dune Part 1, or just Dune as they called it, from Denis Villeneuve. But, you know, he's an excellent storyteller and I love the story and the world of Dune. I've read all the Frank Herbert books. I've read a bunch of the prequel ones. So it's a story I'm familiar with. It's a story I love. I also love the David Lynch version. I'm gonna throw it out there. But anyway, going into Part 2, I am actually gonna say I think I had a better time at this than I had at the first Dune film, because in part, one of my biggest beefs with it is that we didn't get enough Zendaya, we didn't get enough Chani in it, and this is really her story. If you're not familiar with the world of Dune, I was thinking about it and I was like, could you see Dune Part 2 without having seen Dune Part 1? And I think the answer might be yes. Obviously, you should just see Dune Part 1 or just Dune because it's a great film and it, you know, this is the second half of the story. I'm not even going to necessarily call it a sequel, but because so much of the lore and the stuff is kind of gobbledygook space stuff, like, you can generally apply logic. And also, because Dune is such an inspirational and informative story for a lot of other science fiction, like, you are going to be able to pick up on the cues, and you don't necessarily have to have seen the first one in order to know, okay, well, these people are fighting against these people, and there's some sort of political drama happening. Like, the Bene Gesserit might not make perfect sense to you, but you'd be like, ooh, mythical spooky ladies. Okay, fine. But either way, see Dune Part 1 before you see this. I didn't refresh myself. I did not watch the first half of it before going into the second half, and I was perfectly fine. So if you don't have time, or if you don't just feel in the mood for it, you can watch this without having seen the first half recently. I still technically think you could watch this without having seen the first half ever, but I highly encourage you to do it. Part 2 sees the return of, you know, a bunch of the cast. You've got Timothée Chalamet still as Paul Atreides, the, you know, sort of last scion of this big, fancy, nobly house. Zendaya is Chani, who is one of the Fremen, who are the sort of indigenous people on this planet. Dune or Arrakis, which is, you know, full of spice, which is the thing that makes the universe run effectively. And so controlling this planet, you know, the spice must flow. You control the spice, you control everything. Rebecca Ferguson is back as Lady Jessica, who is Paul's mother. Javier Bardem is back as Stilgar, who is the leader of the Fremen. I hope this isn't a huge spoiler, but again, it's based on the book. So Josh Brolin as Gurney Halleck, Dave Bautista returns as Beast Raban, who Dave Bautista is so good and so scary in this. I'm gonna keep going down the cast list in a bit, but I have to give Dave a shout out. He just, oh my god, I was an elevated performance out of him. Stellan Skarsgård as Baron Harkonnen, as the giant blobby, you know, villain, who clearly is like, I don't care about this movie, but I'm Stellan Skarsgård, so I can turn in an amazing performance. And then you've got Austin Butler joining as Fade Rautha, who is a Harkonnen and basically a psychopath. And again, the premise of it is, you know, these two warring houses, the Harkonnens and the Atreides. The Atreides had control of the planet, and then the Harkonnens took it over in a coup with the support of the emperor of this sort of universe. We also get Florence Pugh as Princess Irulan, who is the daughter of the emperor. Leia Sidhu as Lady Margot Fenring, who is one of the Bene Gesserit I mentioned. They're kind of these, like, clandestine women who are manipulating the universe behind the scenes. And then my favorite casting in this is Christopher Walken as the Emperor. And I had completely forgotten that he was cast in this. So it was such a fun, ridiculous moment for me to see him come on screen and, like, he says words as Christopher Walken. Every time he opens his mouth to say a sentence, he starts, it's just classic Walken, right? And so I would just giggle. And then he would go into it and then say some of the kind of gobbledygook space language. And then the rest of it's obviously intelligible. But I laughed so hard. But again, it's a perfectly serious movie and he does a good job in it. But it was just such a wonderful touch and, like, just a little bit of absurdity. So as I mentioned, I have read all the books. I know how this story ends. And yet I found myself so tense and so, like, my heart was in my throat during it. I think the action is beautiful. The acting is great. The costumes are mind-boggling. It is long. It is 2 hours and 46 minutes. And, you know, so go to the bathroom beforehand. I don't want to say, I mean, I will say this. That is the biggest challenge of it. Obviously, this is a huge story. They split it up into two movies, but I do think there are a few things they could have shaved from this one. And that's my only thing about it that I would have changed, is that, like, there are a couple scenes that I think, because they were in this beautiful landscape and they had built all this stuff and, you know, all these things, they're, like, a little indulgent with the, you know, showing off some of the things, but a gorgeous movie. And I'm always trying to evaluate, you know, is it worth the risk effectively of like going to a movie theater for a film? Yeah. You want to see this one on this big screen. It is epic and just sprawling, and the sound is so well designed. And I know that sounds like a minor thing, but sound is 51% of every film, according to my old professor, Barbara Malmet. But yeah, it's like the sound and the music and the absence of sound and just the way they play it for drama, the performances. I also like that, you know, this is the story of effectively like an indigenous people versus invaders versus the first film, which covers more of the interpolitics of the Harkonnens and the Atreides. The other thing about this is it gets like weird in religious zealotry. Hopefully not a spoiler, because they started doing that in the first one. And again, this story has been around for a really long time, but I'm going on a fair amount. I'm just going to cut to the chase. See this movie. This movie is great. This movie is spectacular. The only reason I'm not going to give it a 5 out of 5 is because it is a little long, and you do have to be willing to sit through some of the more fantastical elements of sci-fi. So I know it's not going to be quite for everyone, but I'm going to give it a 4.9 out of 5. I'm going to take a quick break and be right back. And I'm back. The other thing I have this week is also a very immersive, well-produced sort of, I'm not going to call it fantastical because it takes place on Earth in a real time and place, but it's Shogun, which is the latest sort of making iteration of the story. It's based on James Clavell's novel. They've already made it before into a miniseries, which got cut into a movie in like 2003. They like condensed the 9-hour mini. Anyway, so this is the story. It takes place in Japan in 1600. You know, it's going into, again, more politics between effectively noble houses, a war amongst them. Hiroyuki Sanada stars as Lord Torangana, who is, oh my god, I love Hiroyuki Sanada so much. He's so good in this role. And then the story of Shogun is sort of following the complications of what happens when the outside, you know what, there are really a lot of parallels between this and Dune 2, when an outside invading effectively force comes and changes the balance of things. And in this case, that is in the form of the European, I'm gonna call them invaders effectively, John Blackthorne, who's being played by Cosmo Jarvis, shows up. He's an English sailor, pilot, etc. And he shows up on a boat that happens to be full of weaponry, modern weaponry, more modern guns and things like that, which would change the balance of power in an upcoming fight. And, you know, this is at a time when Japan was not really visible to the Western world or discovered, etc. So, you know, there's like a handful of religious folks there. I think the Jesuits and the Portuguese, and then the like, other forms of Christians, Protestants? I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, so it's about what happens when it, wow, really, again, so many parallels. When an outside invading, you know, religion, force, etc., comes and changes the mix of current existing geopolitical climate. And I think the performance from Hiroyuki Sanada is amazing. Anna Sawai stars as she becomes a kind of like a translator. The strongest part of this, the production value, amazing, you know, costume, sets, design, etc. You know, the performance is great. The thing I bumped up against the most is I did not love and do not love the casting of Cosmo Jarvis in this role. He's, the character himself is supposed to be, you know, haughty and H-A-U-G-H-T-O-I, like arrogant, you know, not a haughty, but it's very off-putting. And I think the problem is like he overplays it, right? And this is supposed to be, of course, in contrast to the more quiet, sort of reserved character played by Hiroyuki Sanada, but I don't think the way that their performances are calibrated is intentional, you know? And so it feels more like, oh, you're just screaming for the sake of screaming versus like acting. I don't, yeah. So it's tough when one of the main characters is not operating at the same level as the rest of the cast and so much of it follows him. So I will flag that if you find yourself not being able to kind of deal with his performance, it's prevalent throughout the series. So, but I do recommend you watch it. I you know, take it with a grain of salt, but Shogun is starting to stream now. It's on Hulu and FX. The first two episodes are out and it's going to be coming out weekly. That has been it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.